I've been going to church same time as exam, about a year. Been saved for like a year and 2 weeks, something like that. Praise the Lord. So just kind of how that all worked out was, I'll go back to like the beginning, I guess. I'll just kind of put everything into context. So I'll say for me, since I was a little kid, I never really had like a faith or family members that, you know, told me God was real, anything like that. I remember going to church on like Easter, and I hated it every time. It was like, this is the longest thing ever. I'm like, the only thing good here is the crackers and the grape juice. I'm like, this all just sucks. I couldn't listen to them. I mean, my attention span was really bad. I mean, it felt like going to a store with my mom. I'm like, she's like, 10 minutes. And then we're in there for like an hour. She's looking at everything. So, I mean, they had to convince me to go there. So that's the only time I ever really went to church or really got anything, you know, about God, anything like that. So I never really believed in God. I mean, I kind of like didn't really know what I believed, and I was mainly just living life just by myself for the most part. And you know, that's always something that I feel like kind of ate me up almost, is just, this is it, I'm by myself. That's how I always thought. So for the longest time when I was a kid, is all I just wanted was just a friend, you know, somebody to be there. I wanted just somebody to ride with me, I guess, in a sense, and just kind of go through life with me. And you know, I remember like one of my first best friends was probably in like sixth grade. His name was Caleb. Me and him were best friends, lived right across the street for about a year or so. And then he moved to Warrensburg. So, okay, I was like, cool, I got somebody. I'm happy right now. You know, now he's gone and now I got nobody. I'm like, okay, well, this sucks. So I kind of just had all the time, just kind of like a hole in my heart that needed to be filled. And how I'd fill that is, at the start, is just people, you know, get somebody in my life, you know, that can bring some temporary joy, you know. After school, I'll go hang out with them, whatever it is. Then I got another friend, his name was Joey. Then I moved. So then I had nothing there. Moved to a different place. Basically, just, that's when I got into high school. So high school was kind of a trip, because I basically got in and, you know, started meeting all these cool people that I thought were cool and that were good influences and everything like that. And come about sophomore year, I want to say, maybe it was junior, I start getting into drugs. I start, you know, basically taking my first drugs, drinking for the first time, and, you know, I didn't really care. And that was kind of just my replacement for those friends that were never really there and for that hole that was in my heart. And I remember I'd still just try to be basically just filling myself with everything I could get from the world. You know, it'd be a group of friends, but then I'd feel like, okay, well, these people aren't really my friends. And that's probably the story of most people's high school years. But that was a big thing for me, is I just always felt alone. And I was unhappy for a very, very long time, especially through high school. So in junior year, I started to do drugs. Okay, that became my my go-to. I was like, okay, well, these people are fake. You know, these people aren't going to, you know, do anything for me. They're probably just going to move anyhow. I'm like, well, church sucks, I'm not going there. So I'm like, okay, drugs it is. So basically, start off every weekend, okay, I'm doing drugs. You know, that's what I do. Go through school, okay, doing drugs. Now it's on the weekend. Well, shortly after that, I mean, that just started to kind of grow. Shortly after that, I started to meet some other people. You've already heard this now three times. I met Damien and Justin. Justin broke his wrist, yada, yada, yada. Then we're best friends because, you know, broken wrist and drugs. So that's kind of how that happened. So we're hanging out basically every day. You know, those are the two guys I felt like actually stuck it out and stayed with me out of everybody, you know, really in my life that, you know, I was, would consider a friend. They just have been here. So praise the Lord for that. But, started off, that's how we bonded. All we do is just get together, do drugs. You know, I think they probably had something in their heart that was kind of similar to mine, that they just had to fill with that temporary joy of just getting something in there and, you know, just seeing how long it lasts. Of course, it never lasted permanently, and then you'd have to do even more of it and even more of it. So come probably, I guess, the end of my junior year, I was like, okay, well, I still feel like I want something. I want something. I don't know what it is. Okay, well, now up pops a girl. So I got a girl. For probably about a year, I was kind of working on that when I shouldn't have been. Okay, I ended up getting a girlfriend. So that just kind of became my life. She moved in. I'm with this girl for 8 months. Well, the girl ended up doing drugs too, so now that's how we bonded. So that was basically my life. You know, my life was my friends, drugs, and a girlfriend. I didn't care about anything else. I was just going day by day, trying to fill that void in my heart. Of course, nothing ever really lasted. You know, you have a fight with your girlfriend. Well, now you're unhappy and you're doing all this stuff and you're taking more drugs, and that's what I was doing. So that lasted for probably about a year. That was probably the first girlfriend I ever felt like I was really close with. And kind of like how I started just saying I always wanted a friend, that's what she kind of was to me, was just somebody who was really close. That's what I wanted. I want somebody who was really close, who knew me better, you know, than anybody, and was just going to stay there. Well, you know, let God be true and every man be a liar, you know. She was gone, just like all the other people, and I was heartbroken. So now I'm heartbroken. You know, I wasn't even at this time friends with Damien because we had a fight and all this stuff. Justin's there, but all that did was just lead to more drugs. You know, eventually that just kind of got worse and worse and worse. Probably about 6 to 8 months after being broken up with my girlfriend, I'm still hurting. I'm still, you know, in this, you know, just beaten down state, taking more drugs. Now I'm taking different drugs. I'm, you know, just trying everything. I'm just trying to find something to fill my heart. And, you know, the drugs never did. So probably 2020, probably around April is whenever things started to change, when we, like he had already talked about, going back to like the prequel now, we went to Colorado, and that's probably, I would say that's probably the first time that I ever realized that there was definitely something greater, than what met the eye at first, at least. Just, that's where I felt like the Lord was kind of working on my heart. Of course, I didn't know it was the Lord at this point, but I just felt like, you know, okay, it's karma, or this, you know, something's there that's greater, that's kind of just working everything out. I'm like, okay. So we come back from Colorado, still 2020. I end up getting plugged into a church shortly after. But the reason I did that was, I was taking drugs, still in this super bad spot, just hurting in my heart. Nothing was filling it. And, you know, for some reason, I'd always, like, at this point, I didn't believe there was a God until that trip. I had read a daily devotion that Damien ended up having. And it was this little, just kind of like leather booklet that just had a daily devotion for every day throughout the year. And probably about 5 a.m., I'd been up all night, hadn't slept. I'm, like, sitting at the end of my bed, just, you know, like, in a bad spot, just really rough spot. And I read John 14:6 out of it. It says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said. And, you know, that was the first part of my life that I ever really felt like, okay, I'm starting to get what this is. This is, you know, Jesus. Jesus is God. And I don't know if I was saved that night. I don't really recall calling out to the Lord or anything, or really if I had a true heart belief. But I felt like, okay, well, I just read this. I'm like, it seemed like it was really personal, and it felt like the Lord was kind of speaking to me through it. I'm like, okay, so there's something in these words. There's something here. So then I got plugged into VCC, the church that he was talking about, the elementary school rock band, you know, where basically just everything was kind of going on there. So I got plugged in there, started going there probably from April all the way up until July, I want to say. And kind of like he was just talking about, just, you know, you go there, you get fed on Sunday, and you feel good, and then you go, and your week sucks. You do, for me, it was, I was doing the same drugs, trying to get, you know, my pleasure from everything else. I wasn't in the Bible at this time until shortly after getting into the church. Basically going there, getting hyped up in a sense, you know, having a good time with the rock band, that I come back Sunday. It was good enough for me to go and get one day of the week where I felt like I was getting something, some kind of emotional boost, I guess. So I was going there. At this point, I was working at a roofing company, like Justin had mentioned. They mentioned a lot of stuff out of my testimony, but anyhow, like Justin mentioned, called North Star Group. So I lived in Grand Valley, Missouri at this point, and I basically worked in Kansas, probably 40 minutes away every single day for the most part. I'd go and knock doors, but it'd always be out in Kansas. I'd spend most of my days out there. So at this point, like Damien had also talked about, basically I'm like, I don't really know what the full truth is. I just know that one time it felt like the Lord was speaking to me and there's something, you know, greater. I'm like, okay. So at this point, I think it's myself. I'm like, okay, I can do everything. I can do all this. So I'm reading all these books, these self-help books, you know, how to make $1 million in this amount of time, whatever it is. I just was trying to find something to fill my heart. So at this point, it was, you know, okay, I'm going to go work. I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to hustle doing it and all this stuff. So I'd wake up 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning. I'd go get into my truck and head out to Kansas to work for the whole day. And, you know, I get out, I'd leave pretty early in the mornings, and every time I was leaving in the morning, when it was early at least, there was always this old guy, this crippled guy walking around on his walker, just walking around the parking lot. He'd just do laps over and over and over again. And I never really thought anything of it except, like, man, that guy's a trooper. I'm like, okay, well, I'm like, I probably wouldn't be doing that. So, you know, I'd probably been by him 100 times at this rate. And slowly but surely, the Lord started to work on me, even though I was at a church where I necessarily wasn't getting truth or I wasn't really getting anything deep spiritually. It was pretty much just like milk. The Lord started working on me, and I think that was just partly because of my just willingness to seek the truth. So I was just reading that devotion, kind of going into it. I think at this point I had an NIV Bible at the time, so I'm reading it, you know, just trying to find something. I remember that morning I woke up, and I think it was because of the daily devotion. It just said, like, give everything to Jesus, okay? So I'm like, I wake up, I'm like, Lord, I give everything to you. And, you know, I just walk out my door. I'm happy, I'm excited, and, you know, I mean, that could have been the moment I was saved. I'm not 100% confident in that, so I'm not going to claim it as that. But I walked out, and I was like, Lord, I give everything to you. I'm like, take me today, okay? So I go out. I'm all jolly. I go out to my parking lot. I'm walking right to my truck. I got my little, like, briefcase kind of deal on my hand. I'm just happy. So I'm walking to the truck, and I hear a voice go, sir, and I'm like, okay, and then I see a guy, he's like, come here, and I'm, okay, so this guy end up, I come over, I'm like, hello, and he's like, do you know the Lord Jesus, and I had to ask him a couple times, I'm like, what, do you know the Lord Jesus, I'm like, yeah, I woke up to him, I was like, Lord, I give everything to you, so I'm like, okay, yeah, like, I know him. He's like, well, praise God, but he's like, you got a church? And I was like, yeah, I go to church, Valley Community Church on Sunday. At this point, I'm really happy with my church. I'm like, okay, cool, I like it. You know, I go there, and I have a good time. So I'm like, yeah, I go to Valley Community Church on Sundays. He goes, well, church is great, but Bible study we hold on Thursdays. You should come. And handed me this little wages of sin is death card, but it had the address on it. He pointed it out to me. I was like, what time? He's like, 7. I'm like, okay, I'll be there. I'm like, all right, I'll be there. So I had nothing to do. I'm pretty, if you know me, you'll probably ask me to do anything. I just say yes. I mean, for this, Caleb asked Damien if he wanted to go or if we wanted to go. He said yes. So therefore, he just said, hey, you want to go to Lincoln? I was like, yeah. I'm like, when? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, okay, I'm so cool with it. So he's like, well, we're giving our testimony. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I didn't even know the address till I was on my way over here. So, or the time I was supposed to be doing this. So I'm pretty easy to say yes. So he's like, you want to come to Bible study? I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll come. So nobody else went with me. I just, 7 p.m. on a Thursday night, sometime in late July, I went by myself. I think it's probably like, yeah, late July. So I went, I'm like, okay, this is cool. I sat by Dell. I something different. You know, the tables are all set up. People are all next to each other. They all got their Bibles out. My church, you never see anybody with their Bible out. So basically, I ended up getting a Bible. I think it was that day. Somebody came over and gave me a First Word Bible for free because I was just reading off my phone and the NIV. I'm like, okay, cool. So I go through that, and you know, that was cool. I think the good thing about this church, just kind of go a little bit off topic, is just how nice people are and how willing they are to, you know, just reach out for new people. So I got a Bible that day, and I was like, okay, this is cool. The people are nice. I end up going home. I don't remember learning anything or anything, but I just know they were studying the Bible. So next week comes up, I asked Damien and Justin to come, and we ended up going. I don't know why I want to go back, I just wanted to go back. So we went back, and then they got there, and it ended up just being the last day of camp, so there was no Bible study, anything like that. We're just sitting, and I think we witnessed, like, Dejan go up there and, like, start singing, basically, I can't remember the song. Take the Old Town Road, the version of the Bible. So they were like, where are we at? What are we doing? And I'm like, yeah, this isn't how it normally is. So we go there, and that was probably, like, the first day that was, like, most memorable. I remember meeting Alex that day and everything, and definitely found out he's a talker. I don't know what he was saying. I felt like him and Justin worked well together because they were just going. But anyhow, so I just kept coming back. This was late July, and probably a couple weeks in, I wasn't really paying it. I feel like I wasn't paying attention because I don't remember anything from the first couple Bible studies. I just know I want to keep coming back. Then I started to kind of get slowly but surely start getting some things from the Bible. Well, eventually, Alex Sanders had asked me if I wanted to do discipleship, so I'm like, okay, cool. Well, at this point, you know, keep in mind, I didn't just go to a Bible study or go to church and just, you know, I'm off drugs, I'm off anything like that, I'm just instantly happy. Nothing like that. So, at this point, I'm still doing drugs, I'm still doing all these things. I maybe cut a couple things out because I just felt like, I mean, they were taking a toll on my mind. I wasn't thinking the same, anything like that. So he's like, hey, you want to start discipleship? I'm like, what's that? He's like, well, we're just going to kind of meet. It'll be me, Sam and Taylor. He's like, we'll just go through the Bible. We'll just teach you kind of the fundamentals. I'm like, same thing. I'm easy to say yes. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, what time? I'm like, it doesn't even matter. Yeah, we're cool. So, we started meeting at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays, and the first week, I didn't actually remember he wasn't there, but I guess first week he wasn't there. Second week, him and his girlfriend at the time, Brooke, were there. And at these couple weeks that I just mentioned, basically, I'm just struggling real hard because I'm reading my Bible, not understanding everything. I'm seeking the truth. I'm still, like I said, doing all these drugs, having these problems and everything like that. And I remember just, I was reading through Romans at this point, and I'm reading through Romans 10, 9 through 10, and, you know, for if thou shalt believe, I'm going to quote KJV because I don't know the NIV, for if thou shalt believe in thine heart, or confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So I'm like, okay, I'm like, well, I mean, Lord, save me. I'm like, I don't know what to pray, but I was just, I'd probably asked 100 times for him to save me, and whether I saved again or not, I don't know. Could have been, I'm not too sure, I'm not going to call it that. So I feel like I never really had the hard belief in there. I never put my faith in the right things. I was just like, well, it's the prayer, you know, Lord, save me, this is what it says, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Okay, so I'm like struggling with this. I mean, 2 weeks, I'm like, I'm on my way to hell. I'm like, I got a problem, and I'm like, I don't understand. I'm praying this 100 times. I'm like, when is this gonna get fixed? I'm like, Lord, I don't understand. So we'd already been through 2 weeks, he wasn't there. Then next week, him and Brooke were there. Third week, it's me, him, Alex, Sam, and Taylor. We're in lesson one of discipleship. We're going through salvation. I don't remember what we did the first 2 weeks. I think we just started over because now it's just me and Damien. That's just how the Lord worked it out. So we're over salvation, and we're going through the whole thing, and the whole time on my mind, I'm just kind of getting ate up. I'm like, he's talking about salvation. I'm like, what is that? I'm like, I don't think I have that. I'm like, I know I've been calling out to him, but I'm like, I don't feel right. And I know probably 2 weeks before, a little under 2 weeks, he had got saved. First thing he did when we're knocking doors together, he's like, Dylan, I just got saved. I'm like, okay, so cool. So I'm just really just struggling with this throughout the whole lesson. And we get to, I don't know, he had asked me if Alex was teaching the lesson one. He asked me if I had any questions or if we had any questions. And I knew I had to ask. I'm like, what is salvation? I'm like, because I got to get this right. So I was like, What does it mean to be saved? Or I was like, so what's salvation? Because I know he probably explained it, but I didn't understand it. So he's like, okay, cool. So he just, you know, praise God, he jumped right on the opportunity. He's like, well, let's open the book and find out. So we open to Romans 3:23. All the sin to come short of the glory of God. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I'm a sinner. I know that for sure. Goes to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, the wages of sin is death. That's what caught my mind. I'm like, whoa, I'm a sinner. I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm like, yeah, and I feel like I'm on my way to hell right now. So I didn't feel good, that's for sure. Then we go to Romans 10:9-10. He reads through it. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he read that, and I'm like, okay. And then he's like, well, we can settle this now. And I was like, same thing. I'm easy to say yes for stuff. I'm like, okay, yeah. I was actually excited for this one. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So then he's like, okay, well, he's like, you want to pray? I think he asked if I want to pray. I'm like, I don't know. He's like, okay, well, just repeat after me if you believe it. I'm like, okay, cool. So we bow our heads, you know, pray just a prayer. I'm like, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need salvation. It has to be through you. I'm like, please save my soul here and now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'll be honest. I didn't really feel much different after that, but there was kind of like a weird quietness and, you know, peace in the room for sure. And we just kind of looked up, like looking at everybody, and then got up and hugged each other. I'm like, okay, cool. So does this mean I'm saved? And I was like, so how do I like know for sure? And this is why I'm going to claim this is the day I was saved, is because he's like, yeah, let me show you. We go to 1 John 5:13-15. Basically talks about, this is the record that I've given unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So that answered my question real quick. And it said, basically, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And he told me that God's will is for me to be saved. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. He said, if he hear us, then whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So I was like, okay, that's pretty cut and dry. So, you know, while I may not have felt different in my heart, like I just had this crazy sense of joy, I knew for sure. I'm like, well, my faith has got to be in the book. So I remember writing those verses up on my wall and a little chalkboard. And anytime I had doubts, and I'm not going to lie to you, I sometimes still have doubts, but I got to go right back to those verses, 1 John 5:13-15. And I just look right at those. I'm like, okay, I'm good. You know, God's got me. So I'm still doing drugs and everything at this time. So that was October 28th of 2020, when I at least knew I had eternal security. So I'm going to claim that as my day of salvation. I know for sure at the bare minimum it was that day, or the latest. That's pretty much how I got saved. I mean, kind of run down on just how the Lord's changed my life since then. I mean, a big stronghold in my life was drugs, and a big stronghold in my life was just, like I said, having that hole and just needing something. And I haven't done drugs since Christmas of 2020. Yeah, I know it's probably not the day you think to do it, but I haven't done drugs since then. And, you know, I'll tell you, I'm pretty cool with being alone because I know there's a friend that sticketh closer to the brother, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's my testimony. Praise God.